wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, and a good Thursday to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. As we continue along, it is a throwback Thursday where we're going to celebrate the start of NFL Films, a production company that changed its name to NFL Films on this date in 1964. Ed Sable, Steve Sable, you know the rest, how good it was and how good it was at bringing you the NFL in a different way, in a different view. LaVon Reed is going to join us from CBS Sports in Boston, Patriots beat reporter for WBZ. We're going to talk about the latest Brady rumors because there's a lot and we're going to process it all. But I think I'm more curious about Boston and the fan base and the city and where they are with this. How do they view what a lot of us get tired of? Let me tell you, many of us say, oh, these Brady rumors have got to stop, but we're not in Boston, right? We're not feeling what it would mean to lose one of the greatest players in Boston in sports history. Forget just the Patriots, in Boston sports history and what it's done for that franchise. I think it would be tense. I think every rumor would be taken in as a little bit of a processing by the average fan. You know, I live in Nashville. Just the idea of the rumors involving the Titans have kind of gotten to a number of people in this city. But if I lived in Cleveland, I wouldn't care. And if I lived in Pittsburgh, I'd probably be like, whatever. But in Boston, I can imagine this being front page news, and rightfully so. But I did want to start this hour, Ron, by saying that Nick Wallenda did successfully cross the volcano. The other night, we talked about him using walking on a tightrope across an active volcano, needing a gas mask because the fumes from the volcano were bad. But he did make it across in 31 minutes.
Yeah, now, I heard that too. Still an idiot.
Let's be honest. If he didn't make it, it would probably have been the news the second it happened.
Well, but it wouldn't have been aired either. ABC would have been scrambling to find something. Like, well, we can't.
Some rerun of whatever it is that's their top show.
Yep.
But he did rerun use a safety harness. His wife did some sort of aerial acrobatics over the volcano, too. She was pretty impressive.
Idiots, man.
Crazy circus family.
Like, you're not going to look like the guy in Volcano who jumped and threw a body.
Right.
As his body was melting away.
That's right. Just seeing him walk across the tightrope. He kind of looked like Bane.
Hello, Dolly. This is Louis. Dolly, it's so nice to have you back where you belong.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, we don't usually go back in time, like beyond our years. Now and then we do, but we don't. Everything we do, even if it's the 70s, we usually stay within our lifetime.
Yeah.
But this is 1964.
Relatively close to us. I mean, I know we did like 72.
Yeah.
Recently,
but still,
you know, we keep it close.
And this is 1964, so celebrate NFL Films. Before we get to more on the NFL Films and sort of the impact it's had on the NFL, don't forget to get into the game with basketball season, both NBA and college in full swing. Get in the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and start betting college and pro sports. The tournament is coming, and the NBA playoffs are right around the corner. You can bet every spread, every total, every winner or loser, and straight bet parlay tease your way through the season, even the wild proposition bets, because you know those are fun. Get the fastest to market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, BetOnline, and head over to the website today or use your mobile device to join. Use the promo code SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So as we mentioned in Throwback Thursday, this is the debut of this is the start of the company known as NFL Films. As I mentioned earlier, this was a company. And then it was bought in by the NBA, the NFL gave it some money. And so they became NFL Films, and the rest is history. The rest is not only history, the rest is extremely important history, given the popularity of the NFL. And I think NFL films had a lot to do with that, sort of presenting this sport in a way that really made, you know, drew fans in, kept fans in, and kept fans in for generations. So one of its more famous NFL films is The Autumn Wind, the poem about the Raiders, and it was used in Hard Knocks. You hear it all the time, and you're going to hear it now. Here's The Autumn Wind from NFL Films.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Excellent. Great stuff. Great stuff. And you can just picture Al Davis when you see that.
Yeah.
You can picture Ken Stabler and Dave Casper. You can picture those Raiders back in the day. Jack Tatum. That's what the NFL did. If you thought of those guys while that music was playing, that's the influence of NFL films. That is the importance. John Facenda's voice narrating that poem.
I picture grainy film and oversaturated colors.
That's right. That is right. Exactly. And so celebrating that on Throwback Thursday.
God, can we get that? We need stuff like that some more.
Yeah, can we do that some more?
Because even when it first started off, I mean, when he first started talking, the first thought it went through my mind, I don't know why, it was a Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, God, this is fantastic.
It's great.
Like, I want to see something like that, like before a movie actually starts. I want something like that on a black screen.
Now,
soak you right into it.
I mean, come on. If you're Tom Brady and you're deciding where to go, doesn't this make you think Raiders? Like, I think I want to be a part of that.
How many times has the Raiders sent this to him?
Right, exactly.
This could be about you.
Come on, we're talking legacy here. Come on, you could do it. You could do it. As part of the 1974 team yearbook. So, there you go.
Do you think Vegas has pitched like, hey, Golden Knights almost won the Stanley Cup their first year in existence in Vegas?
Yeah, what? You know,
why don't you be the first to win it?
Come on,
win
man.
A championship for
this
Vegas.
This is Party City. So bizarre to think that Vegas has now got two professional teams.
Yeah.
Man, it's so...
When they couldn't get it done for years.
Years and years and years. The Maloof brothers tried so badly to get the... When they owned the Kings, tried to get them to Vegas, and that was a big no. And the NBA said, you can, we can support a team in the city, but you can't... No one can bet on NBA games. And they went, nah, we ain't doing that. Like, that's not happening. And they're like, okay, well, I guess not. And now it's a complete 180. It's accepted now. It's part of the sports culture now. It's not taboo. It's not dangerous to the integrity of the game. All of those things. And now Vegas is getting an NFL team, an NHL team, and could get an NBA team down the road if there's anybody that's upset at their current stadium situation and wants to boogie over there. Right? And, you know, you ever see a Golden Knights pregame show? What they're doing with the video on the ice and
yes.
The lasers?
They're fantastic.
Like, aren't they amazing? Like, they're amazing.
That's what I mean. I'm excited. Like, okay, now you got an NFL budget.
Right. Yeah.
This, I mean, you know, and the Raiders have extra money now because they sold their practice facility land for like a cool $186 million profit.
So what is it going to be like to go to Raider games in Vegas when you're in the stadium? What's that going to be like?
Would you be disappointed if they don't bust out Cirque du Soleil acrobats every single game?
Why not, right?
You know, or
and here's the other thing.
Bringing a magician.
I told you about going to Predators games in Nashville, right? Where a lot of country singers they live here, they love the Preds, they get behind the Preds, so they're more than happy to sing, you know, whether it's the national anthem or in between periods. They have a stage at Bridgestone Arena. There's a stage where like up and coming acts will they'll go find them and they'll be like, hey, country bumpkins, you want to go play on the stage? And they're like, yeah, we got a new album to promote. And they'll come and they'll play songs in between periods. But every now and then, those up and coming acts are replaced by real people that you know, like people that you recognize. I wonder if Vegas would do the same thing, like just be like, yeah, you know what? At halftime of a game between us and the Chargers on a Sunday in September, Celine Dion is going to do a couple of songs, or whoever's performing, or Penn and Teller will do some tricks. Who knows? Like, go find the acts that are at these casinos and pay them to come perform at halftime. I wonder if you could get, like, I saw the Raiders, and then I watched Jeff Dunham do a puppet act at halftime. It was the most incredible day of my life for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Right? Isn't that a good idea?
You know, or, you know, like, a magician coming out and, you know, having a football. And then a deflated football, and then back to a football. Well, I guess if you do that, you can't have Tom Brady on the team if you do that.
Right, exactly. That's true. That's right. You can't really go down that road. Good try, though. That's a good effort.
Yeah, sorry about
that. But, yeah, like, you know, like, it could be like, wow, it was amazing. I saw David Copperfield disappear and reappear, and he made this Vince Lombardi trophy, and he turned it into an elephant, and I couldn't believe it. It was an incredible halftime show. That's what you get in Vegas. Whereas other places around the country, it's like, we're going to honor some high school bands. But in Vegas, you know, you could get who's ever in town for a couple of weeks. Like, oh my God, that's, you know, I think that would be great. Vegas should totally do that. I think it's going to be a great place to watch a game. It's going to be a great place to have the Super Bowl. Do you think when they have the Super Bowl and they finally get one, it's going to be like when the NBA had the All-Star weekend and was like, boy, this is on another level All-Star weekend.
Question why we should have it anywhere else?
Exactly.
I just think, I mean, if they do get the Super Bowl, or when they do get the Super Bowl, because you know it's going to happen, that halftime show will be the most spectacular halftime show of
without
all time.
Question.
It has to be.
Without question.
It has to be.
You go out there and you find the greatest entertainment producer that you can find, and you pay him whatever he wants, and he puts it together, and he creates the greatest thing ever in the history of the game.
But you better have jetpacks.
Yeah, why not? Why are we done with jetpacks? God, 1967, I mean, if it was good for that year, why isn't it good for this year? We still don't have jetpacks. It's not like jetpacks are, yeah, everybody's got one of those. That's stupid. Why are they showcasing that? We all have them. That's how we got to the game in the first place. No, you could still go, hey, you saw it in Super Bowl I. Now Super Bowl, you know what would have been neat? If they brought the jetpacks to Mercedes-Benz Stadium for Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl, to see if they could avoid the roof. They take off and then, like, see if they can slow down before they hit the roof. No, jetpacks would be great. Bring jetpacks. But no, you're right about Vegas halftime show. That would be the most, again, you would be under so much scrutiny to be the best if you were the producer of that. You'd have people telling you, look, we're one of the entertainment capital of the world, right? People come here to party. They come here to be entertained. They come here to gamble. This is Sin City for a reason, my friend. Go out and give us a show. Make it happen. I don't care what you got to do. Pay people out of retirement. I don't care. But make this the greatest thing of all time. That's what you do. Because the Vegas Golden Knights, they had one the other night where they were doing this battle because, you know, the Golden Knights. And the guy that got, he was one of the characters on the ice, was thrown back from a bolt, right? So this bolt, you know, like, and he fell out and he was sprawling on the ice. And I kid you not, using the graphics, the ice started to break and crumble and then fell, and there was this big cavernous hole. That's what it looked like from above. And it was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen from a stage performance, an ice performance at a hockey game. It looked real. It looked like the ice actually did break apart and collapse into a hole. That sort of virtual reality level. That I was blown away by it. But what was cool about it was, if you had taken that and you'd said, okay, here's a list of all the NHL teams, pick the NHL team that you think created that and hosted that, you'd probably pick Vegas 99 out of 100 times, because that's what they do. So the Vegas Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, should have the greatest halftimes of anybody in the NFL. They should have the greatest pregames of anybody in the NFL. When they do the punt, pass and kick contests that you see at your average NFL stadium, it should be bigger and better than anybody else around the league is doing it. When they honor, like, the high school championship team from the city, it should be bigger and better than anybody else doing it in the league. You hire the very, very best showmen and entertainers in the city, and if not in Southern California, to come work the Raider games. It'd be amazing. It'd be absolutely amazing. All right, we're going to be talking with LaVon Reed from CBS in Boston on the Patriots and Tom Brady's and the latest. We're going to talk about the situation with the rumors. That's all coming up. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culliver, and that's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And it's SB Nation Radio on SB Nation AM Throwback Thursday 1964. Save big during the O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Days Sale with great deals on socket sets, wrenches, and more. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, and you might be, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity right now. Get a 57-piece quarter-inch drive ratchet socket and bit set, just $24.99, plus double O Rewards points, which means you'll get to your next reward even faster. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, you want the latest bracketology projections from Shelby Mast at USA Today? He's really one of the smartest guys in the biz, next to like Joe Lunardi. Shelby's very, very good. I actually talked to Shelby a couple times. He's really smart. He really follows this stuff closely.
We're going to get him on probably next week.
So here's the bracketology projections, according to Shelby at Mast of USA Today. He's also got his own website that he does this on. So your number one seeds would be San Diego State in the East. This is as of today. Kansas in the Midwest, Gonzaga in the West, and Baylor in the South. Those are the number one seeds. The number two seeds in this, according to Shelby Mast, are going to be Dayton in the East, Seton Hall in the Midwest, Florida State in the West. They just had a win last night, and Creighton in the South. So there you go. That's where he's got it. A couple of the 16 seeds, the teams like kind of barely getting in, Prairie View A&M, St. Francis, Siena, North Carolina A&T, another 16 seed would be South Dakota State out of the Summit League Radford.
Could you have South Dakota State go up against San Diego State?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Then we could all mess this up like I did.
Yeah, because then you could say, oh, look, SDSU is winning.
That's right. Yeah, you don't have to play around anymore. There you go. They got Vermont out of the America East as a 12 seed. He's got Vermont as a 12 seed. That's pretty good. Akron as a 13. Liberty, that school, we like to make a little bit of noise. Shelby's got him as a 13 seed playing Kentucky in the South region. Not bad. Let's see who else. What else strikes my eye? Texas is in as an 11 seed. Hofstra in. Wright State, East Tennessee State, a team I really like out of the SoCon, who had a very, very, very good year. They're a 10 seed. They'd go up against Colorado. They'd give Colorado fits. Colorado's good, but they'd give Colorado fits. I don't think they'd advance out of the first round, but Yale out of the Ivy League. Belmont out of the OVC would be, he's got them going up against Duke. And Florida in as an 11 seed. The way he's got it projected right now, he's got four teams in the SEC that are in this tournament: Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, and Florida. That's it. That's too bad. SEC. I expect bigger things. 10 teams from the Big Ten, 7 from the Big East, 7 from the Pac-12, and 6 from the Big 12. Which is good for the Big 12 because the Big 12 only has 10 teams, so they've got six in the ACC with 5. That's what Shelby Mast has got in his bracketology as of today. We'll find out more this weekend. We'll get to the tournament time next week. I think the Big Ten is going to have the most important tournament from, not most important, but more more interested because of what, you know, just for basketball's sake. But I do think that it would be interesting in the SEC, and this is why. If you've got Kentucky, Auburn, and LSU as locks into this thing, and you really like Florida's resume, in, unless they get out of the first round, there are three teams out of the SEC that could get into this with deep runs. Three. Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. Now, Arkansas is an interesting because they, again, losing one of their star players, they struggled this year, kind of righted the ship a little bit. I think sometimes the committee will give you a couple of losses if you're missing one of your marquee guys. And Arkansas is a good team when fully loaded, and right now they're fully loaded. Mississippi State's been playing up and down. They lost to South Carolina the other night. They need a run into this tournament. That's what makes the conference tournaments interesting. We don't like it when a really, really good team out of these smaller conferences, these sort of, you know, the SoCons and whatnot, have really good years, win 25 games, 27 games, they get to their conference tournament and they lose, and then they can't get an at-large bid because the conference is only really going to get one, and that one is the automatic bid. However, what the conference tournament does is it gives a second chance for a conference that hasn't impressed throughout the regular season. So right now, as it stands, the SEC hasn't had its best year. There's been some years the SEC has done great, and there's other years where it's pretty much unwatchable. This year has been a mixture of both. There's been good teams and good moments, but overall, the quality hasn't been up to a standard that I think the SEC had been setting over the last couple of seasons. However, If you lock in Kentucky, you lock in LSU, and you lock in Auburn. Florida, you like, you put them in. And you get Tennessee making a run, you get Mississippi State making a run. All of a sudden, now you're adding five to six teams from the conference. And what would that do to other conferences in terms of their inclusion into this thing? Would you give a UNC Greensboro a chance out of the SoCon if they don't win the SoCon tournament? Would you give Austin Peay or Murray State an opportunity to get into this thing if they don't win the OVC but play in the title game? However you want to look at it. If the SEC got two teams in the championship that are outside, that are on the bubble or first four out or first four in, whatever category those teams are at, but now you're just going to add more SEC teams. And you can make the same argument for any other of the major conferences that are already kind of picking up steam. Right? If you really like what the Big 12 has in terms of its six teams in there, well, you know, what if TCU made a run and won the thing and got the automatic bid? I don't think you would kick out anybody in there. You probably would just add it. So this is the time of the year where bracketology is fun, but it also really depends on all of next week about how it's all put together. There are teams you can already write in pen, paint it in the bracket, but there's others that you still have to worry about in terms of what they do next week. Michael on Twitter, I love the topic for Throwback Thursday, but disappointed in the music selection. It should only be music from the NFL films. I get goosebumps whenever I hear that stuff. Yeah, I guess, but how many?
But we don't get a chance to play the 60s.
But the 60s is... Michael, we never get to. When do you hear that on the show?
And we have been playing NFL films.
We've had Beatles,
music.
We've had Frankie Valli, we've had Elvis, we've had. We've had Louis Armstrong.
Just played Dusty Springfield.
Dusty Springfield. So I get it. I know you get goosebumps. I get goosebumps too. But Michael, you never hear us do 1960 stuff on Throwback Thursday.
And to be fair, Michael, we have been playing some NFL films music.
That's right.
And a lot of it all sounds the same.
That's very true, right? Very true. But come on, we've had the Beatles. How many Beatles songs do we play in the 3 hours that we've been on this morning? Yeah. Two?
No, we've only played one.
Oh, one? Okay.
We've only done one. I tried to spread it out. You know, give some other people some love, even though it was like...
That's true. Let's expand even though, in the 1964 music
on the Billboard Top 100 list, they had about 50 songs.
Yeah, completely.
On an album of 11 songs.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, and I might ask you this closer to that first Thursday of the tournament.
Yeah.
There is a particular restaurant, it's a national chain, but I'm not going to tell you where it is, where I go every single Thursday of the tournament. I've been doing so for a few years now. Okay. I get food, I get a dessert, I do everything. I get a little appetizer, I get a meal, and I get a dessert, and I stay for a number of hours, I take some notes, I make it a full experience. But recently their prices have gone up and I can't seem to, it's like $35 for me to, is that a little, it's like lunch. It's not
by
even
yourself?
Dinner. By myself.
Yeah, that's steep. By
like
yourself.
I remember getting either a small app or a pre-salad, a meal and a dessert for like $20.
Yeah. See, I mean, because you're splurging a little bit, so I
right,
get it.
Right.
35 by yourself. I mean,
I know. Last time I was there was $33 and change, and I left a $10 tip. And dude, I remember going, that is high.
Now you're pushing 50.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I leave a good tip because I'm there for a while, right. And, you know, I don't want to,
occupying the space.
If I see it's busy, I'll try to move on to it, like the bar area or something.
Well, but maybe it's time to find a new
Find another place.
Yeah.
$35 for lunch, even maybe when you're going full course meal,
like
all the way through.
Like a hole in the wall pizza joint.
Right. Patriots next. She loves you, yeah.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Happy birthday, NFL Films, on this date, 1964. There's our second Beatles song of the morning. We could have done 10, right? Is that true? About 10. We tried to keep it to a minimum. We tried to spread the love of 1964, but happy birthday, NFL Films, on Throwback Thursday. So the big free agency question, of course, is Tom Brady. And we've been talking about the rumors. We've been kind of processing it from the outside. Well, we got to get inside to Boston to find out what they're thinking and what their projection is for Brady's football future. LaVon Reed joins us from WBZ CBS in Boston to help us process this. Patriots beat reporter. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I want to know this honestly. The national media feels like this story is getting tired and old, but in Boston, what is the level of interest on the day-to-day story in the soap opera that is the Tom Brady rumor mill?
It is a little bit like the national side, where as if I wouldn't say it gets tired and old. I would say that everybody has a different feeling towards the day. And it doesn't help also that the baseball team started, and Chris Sale lost his losing his arm. So that kind of becomes an issue. So, but I think for all of us, because last year the Gronk story took over, so, and then Gronk waited until forever before he made a decision. The Brady story is probably the biggest story this area in the history of Boston sports team has ever seen. Let's just be honest. He's maybe arguably the best football player to ever play the game. And he's leaving, and I'm positive in talking to people around him and fans around him, they would have rather him just retire.
Yeah.
I mean, it is fascinating to me that the football world is on wait for a 43-year-old quarterback. It is stunning to think that's what's going to happen.
What is at the crux of this? Is it just to experience something he's never experienced, which is getting wined and dined by other teams, just to see what the interest is? Or is there something that makes people around the team like yourself that go, there's a fracture here that's never going to get put together?
I don't know if there's a fracture so much. I just think Bill Belichick is the coach that says, I'm trying to win games. And Bill has a plan. And I've thought from the beginning that maybe Bill's plan doesn't include a 43-year-old quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you the biggest difference that goes on here. So you have let's go back. You have Amendola, Gronk, and Edelman. And maybe Tom doesn't have to go to all the OTAs, the passing camps, the quarterback camps, because he has guys that he's worked with. So now those guys move on, Edelman gets older, and you bring in new players. And Tom, to his credit, wants to spend some more time with his family. He's getting older, too, and he's got more kids who are growing up. He doesn't want to miss those summers. And Belichick is like, no.
Yeah.
No, that can't be. And so everybody's saying, well, he didn't have any weapons, and he didn't have this and that. And I'm telling you, Belichick's like, well, I don't know if he didn't have any weapons. He didn't spend any time with them. From April to August, somebody else was throwing those guys. They look fine. He gets here in August. And he's like, I need veterans. And I'm sure Bill is like, well, no, veterans cost money. These guys are for the future, not just for you and your 2 years. I'm planning past 2 years, Tom, and you're not planning past 2 years. So there's your fracture. Tom needs to win now, and Belichick needs to win now with someone who's going to put that time in. So what did Bill do? Bill built the defense. He built the defense. He made sure the defense was stout, and he's playing the game. I was at that after the Philadelphia game. And they beat Philadelphia, I think it was 13-9, or whatever the score was. And Tom was so despondent. he couldn't, you know, after a win, he was just, like, taken apart. And Bill came out there and was like, this is how we need to win. We need to run the ball and play defense. That was it. Plain simple.
Yeah.
And Tom was so upset. So now I think Tom wants to go to a place that is going to put the veterans around him for the 2 years and do what he wants to do. And I will tell you, from the beginning of the years, when this ended at the end of the season, I went on air and said, I don't think if the situation stays the same, that Bill sees Tom as a long-term set. I think Bill sees that he needs someone who's going to put that time in like he did before, like all quarterbacks do. And when I say this is not a slight on Tom, but Mike Evans and Juju Smith-Schuster and all those dudes don't get good if Drew Brees at 40 doesn't show up and help out. He doesn't help out. He helped out with, you know, Alvin Kamara. If Ben Roethlisberger doesn't show up and help out with Juju Smith-Schuster, you got to show up. You just have to do it. That's just how the game is. Those guys don't get better. And especially now where the NFL has decided that we don't want you to practice at all. We don't
right.
want you to
Good
have
point.
Any practice time.
Yeah.
So you need to show up during this time because the NFL is telling you that they don't want to practice or they don't want anybody to get injured. So I just think that Bill needs that time. And he's not telling, like, it's voluntary. We've always said this. Is it really voluntary? But, you know, they say it's voluntary. But you know as well as I do, they don't give you bonuses for showing up for no reason. They make sure that you have a bonus. So I've always thought that he was not going to fit in. And then I will tell you this, when the Super Bowl ended, I was being on the air touting, man, that San Francisco thing looks good.
Ah,
it's the right thing.
Right.
That San Francisco, and then a couple, only because also, you heard it right after the Super Bowl ended, they were like, you know, if we had Tom Brady, we would have won this.
Sure.
And I was like, wow, that's, if you're a Bill, you're like, yeah, if you're a Bill, you're pushing that drama. Push that talk.
So,
that's exactly what we can do here.
So what rumor makes the, like, what rumor is the average Patriot fan most concerned about is actually playing out? We've got a bunch of these teams that have shown interest, could seem to fit exactly what a guy in his 40s might be looking for. What makes the most sense in terms of what the Patriots would get out of it, where he would like to go, what makes the right fit for him, what the Patriots would be okay with? What would work out?
Okay, let's do where he would like to go. Let's do that first. He's going to want to go to a team that's not only going to win the division, but's going to get a bye. That's important. Playing less football, you know, I will tell you that he understands being in New England for 20 seasons, the Jets, Miami, and Buffalo are your opponents, we're guaranteed a bye.
So
he's not trying to play an extra week of football in the playoffs because that's what happened this year, and every time that's happened, they've never made the Super Bowl. So put it that way. So that's where San Francisco fits. Okay, what do the Patriots get in return? How can they work a quarterback that they want? Well, they've already had Jimmy Garoppolo. They understand it. He can walk into the system. He knows how Bill works. He knows how the practice section works. He knows what Bill's looking for guys to work late on Thursdays. He understands what Josh McDaniel's looking for. He understands the verbiage. So that transition's not harder. And he's already been to a Super Bowl. He understands what they're looking for. He can move it in and out of the pocket. That works for the Patriots. I know people are saying Tennessee. This is the problem I have with Tennessee. I've never worked with my good friend. But if my good friend became my boss, and then told me I suck.
Yeah, game, good point, yeah.
It would be a problem.
Right, absolutely.
And that would be a problem for me. And I think also, one of the things I remember that kind of was a startling thing for me when I was breaking this all down was when Peyton Manning left, if we're going to compare it to Peyton Manning, because that's what pretty much everyone's doing. Remember, Peyton Manning got benched that second season, the last season, he got benched, and they brought in Brock Osweiler, and then they put Peyton Manning back. Are you ready at any point in time, whoever you are, to bench Tom Brady?
Yeah, I can't.
He doesn't play well.
Exactly. Cool. Especially if you have something else that you say, look, we've got these pieces in place that can help us win, and you're one of the reasons we are not.
And I think Tennessee letting go Russell Okung was a big thing. I was like, oh. That seems very weird. Why would you let go your left tackle all of a sudden and make a move right now?
Listen,
I don't know. It's hard for me to tell you what Tom is going to do. I do know it's not helping when I hear him on the radio say, well, my family and I are going to be on vacation for the next 12 days.
I'm like, oh, God.
Dude, stop playing the game with everyone. And I will tell you, as a reporter in this area, I mean, we're all checking our miles because we're praying that Tom basically has teams come to him. Because if Tom makes that trip to Nashville, then says, I'm going to head out to L.A., then from L.A. to Vegas, we're all on the same flight. Really, we're all on the same flight. And you know, as a football world, and someone who covers, you know, covers it just as much as all of us on the national level, probably even more, that the minute Tom decides to take a free agent trip, it is crazy.
I'm sure, without question.
Crazy. And it's going to be for a poor example, it's going to be the O.J. Simpson watch, where you're just watching the plane land. He's getting out of the plane. There's helicopters around it. He's walking in. We're wondering if somebody's in the backseat talking to him. Is that his wife? Is that his kids? You know, is that his best friend driving him? It's going to be all of that stuff.
Levon Reed, WBZ in Boston, our progressive guest line. Real quick, I got about a minute left, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Robert Kraft on this. Listen, we know the NFL, it doesn't allow for the tours. It doesn't allow for the retirement to end and people getting gifts and all of that like other sports do. But if there was one guy I thought could do that, I thought it was this guy. I thought his ownership would say, look, let's find an end date, and I'm going to keep you on the roster. I'm going to keep you under contract until the date you want to leave. Where is Robert Kraft in all of this? How much does he just let Bill Belichick decide the fate, and how much does he have to step in as an owner going, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep this guy no matter what?
I'll try to keep it quick, and I'll say this. Last August, when that new contract came out with Tom Brady, I was in Detroit because they had joint practices, and I think you remember it. They came out with a 2-year deal, and it was on a Sunday. And then on a Monday, it came out more about the deal of that contract, where that last year was void, and Tom could be a free agent after that deal was done. So Robert Kraft was in the meeting for that. Mm. So Robert Kraft was there for that.
Yeah,
Kraft knew what he was getting into. And I'll give you one final thing. Trust me on this. Suppose Kraft steps in and says, this is what I want for Tom to do. This is what I want Bill, how you to handle it. And Bill goes, you know what? You stepped in once. And now you're stepping in again.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to leave.
Right, yeah.
How much worse would that be?
No kidding. No kidding. Yeah.
How much worse would that be?
You're right. You're right, Levon. Really good stuff, man. I really appreciate your insight. Hope we can connect again when this thing gets even more heavy in the
anytime,
room.
Anytime. Just give me a holler.
You got it, buddy. I appreciate it. Levon Reed, okay. WBZ, one of the great stations in Boston on the page. That's a great point. That is a great point. Kraft has to be careful with Belichick because Belichick, he can write his own ticket anywhere else he wants to go too. So think about that for a second, messing with what the grand plan of the guy that has been the head coach of the most incredible dynasty of all time.
I know we're concentrating mostly on Brady.
Right.
But what if Kraft?
That's a great point.
If Kraft wanted to be the owner, says no, we're going to keep Brady. We're going to start Brady. If he turned into Dan Snyder.
Yeah, completely,
you know,
right?
I just did and pulled that card and said, no, I want Brady to be – Brady's our starting quarterback. We're going to keep Brady. Belichick's gone.
Yeah, and Belichick can go, I will be coaching in about 3 minutes.
Yeah. And
somewhere
then, and then if he's to leave, how quickly are 31 other teams checking their manager situation?
I know.
31 – there's not one coach safe if Belichick
is
available.
By the way, Progressive, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer. You can only get that at progressive.com. That's Levon Reed, WBZ in Boston. Great point. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
I'm going to shake your shoulders and a move your feet.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks to Levon Reed of WBZ Boston. That was intriguing. That got good at the end, man. He had some good information, but that was good stuff about Belichick and the precarious nature of where Robert Kraft is and all this. And he just can't go, look, I'm the owner. He's staying. I don't care what you say. Get out of my office. He's staying. Now he's been like, I got to watch my coach. I got to let this play out the way it plays out. So, good stuff from LeVon Reed, again, WBZ in Boston. The sound of SB, go ahead.
Same time, he has to be tough.
Really, too?
Or, I mean, it's got to be, he's got to walk that fine line to not choose a side.
Yeah, and you don't want, yeah, I mean, and also, you are the owner. You don't want to give up your the owner status, right? Like, you don't want to be like, I'm just the guy that signs checks. Don't you want to have a little bit of an input in this?
Well, I mean, he's given everything to Belichick anyway, so right. Why not give him a, you know, the team?
Just tell him, okay, go ahead. Change.
Just make money for me. I'll keep supplying you rings and boats.
Yeah. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm not saying Boston fans will ever forget what Tom Brady did for them. That's not what I'm going at in here. But what if Belichick does grab, like, somehow gets Jimmy Garoppolo back and he's like, and they win the Super Bowl? They have a great, great defense, and they win the Super Bowl again.
They go on a similar run?
The similar kind of, yeah, yeah, right, right, exactly.
Oh, geez.
But, I mean, that...
How
that,
much
that
would we hate Boston at that point?
So validate Belichick is even greater than he already is, and already he's great. I mean, he's the top of the business. But, I mean, can you imagine if he took whoever he processes as his next quarterback, and I'm probably not Jared Stidham, but maybe somebody else, and takes them and gets them, look, we're going to make the playoffs, and when we get to the playoffs, we're going to do what we do best. Our defense is going to be stout. We're going to be able to do these other things offensively, and we're going to win some games, and then they win the Super Bowl. I can see where both of these guys want to do something outside of each other, right? Like, just think of where what people would be saying about Belichick if he pulled it off without Brady, right? And this in a even in a different way than saying Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, right? And the same way, if Brady goes to a team and they win a Super Bowl with him and he has championships with two different teams, what they'll be saying about him. You can see where the ego takes place with these guys, where they go, we've done it together so much and done it together so well. Boy, I wonder what it would be like if I could do it with somebody else. And it's not enough. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry with you. But I do want to know what I could do without you in the process. That's intriguing.